This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. On April 1st, Monday, the city of Charlotte got a new boss. Ron Carley is the first city manager from out of town in 30 years and comes to us from Arlington, Virginia, where he was county manager and later, most recently, the COO of an organization that allowed him to see the operations of cities worldwide. Mr. Carley comes to Charlotte at a prickly time. The state is talking about taking the airport from city control. The Panthers want help financing stadium renovations. The mayor is fighting for a streetcar to be built. And money, well, it's kind of tight. But Ron Carley and Mayor Anthony Fox, they say, share a vision for the city, and transit is a big part of that vision. So this hour, we talk about all those things and about how Ron Carley's past experiences prepared him for what he's about to face here in the Queen City. Ron Carley, welcome to Charlotte. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Nice to have you here. And Mayor Fox, welcome back.
It's good to be with you, Mike.
You're not here enough. You should be here more often.
I'll be here more often.
I'm a little concerned about Ron, though, because he's only been on the job 2 days, and he's already taken a morning off.
You know, being with you is not a morning off, Mike.
So what are your first impressions of Charlotte?
This is a great city. I am extraordinarily impressed. Unfortunately for me, I had not spent really any time in Charlotte before coming down and being considered and looking at this job. And I wish I had. Sort of like I discovered Chicago late in life, and Chicago is a wonderful city. And Charlotte has been an incredible surprise to me. The extent to which people who live in Charlotte, who have come from all over this country, not just native Charlottians, but people from Chicago and New York and South and West, love living in this city. And to be in a place where people are so excited about where they live, even when they didn't grow up here and they know other places, I think it's just a huge asset. And my own experience, being here for, you know, a week or so during the interview and having been here now for a week and 3 days, it is a great place.
I'm curious when you learned the word Charlottean. Most people have trouble with that.
Well, I wasn't sure what it was for a while. You can pronounce it a couple of ways, but I picked it up early on. Yeah.
I believe that you sought out this job. Is that correct?
Well, it wasn't on my schedule. The recruiter that the city hired happens to be a colleague of mine. He was city manager in Arlington, Texas, when I was county manager in Arlington, Virginia. So we referred to ourselves as Arlington East and West, mm-hmm. and got to know each other through something called Large Cities Executive Forum. And so he had just joined the consulting firm that was doing the recruitment, and we were at a conference together in Phoenix, and he was waiting to hear from City of Charlotte whether or not they got the contract. And so talking with him, I thought, Charlotte, that's an interesting thought. I wonder what it would be like to be city manager in Charlotte. That's, you know, it's south where, you know, my geography is Virginia, North Carolina, where my wife and I like to live and where we have family and friends. And it's a real city, and it's diverse, and it's big, and it has progressive reputation and a reputation for professional management. Yeah, maybe I should look at that.
When you talk about reputation, well, you know, we are an aspirational city, and we like to be thought of well, and we want people around the country to know us and think us fondly of us. And we've tried for 25, 30 years now to get rid of this CH factor, which you may not know about, where people don't know whether we're Charlotte, Charleston, South Carolina, Charleston, West Virginia. It's the CH thing. So the reputation, is that in professional circles in your line of work, or do people really know us in Arlington, Virginia, before the Democratic convention?
Well, certainly in my line of work, people know Charlotte. In fact, I was surprised myself as I was packing to go. Unfortunately, I have files from 35 years of work in academics and city management, mm-hmm. and I kept running across reports from Charlotte, because Charlotte for, you know, this generation has been seen of as being a progressive leader in city management and service delivery. People in professional management know Charlotte extremely well. But what was also interesting is once I was named city manager, people started coming out of the woodwork, people that I know who have connections with Charlotte, have people who live in Charlotte, want to come to Charlotte, and every one of them without exception, said you are going to love living in that place.
I know that you're not the only person, Mayor Fox, who made the decision to hire Ron Carley as the new city manager, but he is the first city manager to come to us in 30 years from out of town. They usually work their way up through the ranks. So what does that say about us as a city in terms of where we are, where we're headed, where we want to go, and about Ron Carley?
Well, first of all, let me say that we're very fortunate as a community to have the type of interest in a role like city manager that we had. There were people from all over the country who were interested in this role. And as the council moved through its deliberations, I think a couple of things became very clear to us. Number one, as talented as we are in terms of our in-house capabilities, it felt to me like it was time to get some fresh eyes, not only on the organization, but also on the city. And secondly, and this is my opinion, as our community has grown over the last 30 years, a lot of that growth has been the product of some very strong visionaries who've been largely in the business community. And we are at a stage as a city where some of that thought leadership from the business community isn't coming from the CEO level anymore. Mm-hmm. And we're going to need to have folks in the public sector and the private sector who can bring ideas to the table, partnerships to the table, collaboration to the table. And everything that Ron has done in his career suggests that he can do that.
For those who don't know, because of their recent transplants, the people he's referring to are people like Hugh McCall, former head of the Bank of America, Nations Bank, and its predecessor, and Ed Crutchfield at First Union, and the people at Duke Energy, also Johnny Harris and the Bissell Companies, and people like that who have really built Ballantyne and all of uptown, downtown Charlotte, whatever you want to call it. So are you saying then that we're at a crossroads here?
Yeah, I think we are at a crossroads. I think the city has grown into its mature adolescence. And what that's going to require is going to be, I think, our businesses and our business community is going to be more globally focused, as they should. But it also means that the public realm is going to have to step up in some pretty major ways.
So what sold you on Ron Carley? Was it his time at the helm of Arlington County, Virginia, or was it his time as COO of, I'm trying to find it now, the what was the name of the organization?
International City County Management Association, okay. ICMA.
Okay.
Well, I think it was both. First of all, he's got 30 years of management experience in various capacities out of Arlington, largely. But also the fact that he's been in an organization that gives him a perspective across communities, across the country, and even the world. And so whether we're talking about how we bring jobs to the area or how we improve our housing stock or how we move people in an era where we're the fastest growing metropolitan region in the country, I think his horsepower, so to speak, is going to be one of the best things about it.
You also just came from Arlington, Virginia. And once again, for people who don't know the geography, Arlington is part of Northern Virginia. It's part of the Metro D.C. area. And you're dealing with – you're right next door to the city of Alexandria, and they're not in a county. They're in a city unto themselves. You're right next door to Fairfax County. You're right across the river from Washington, D.C. You're all part of this Virginia, Maryland, D.C. conglomeration where people have had to work together now for years and years and years. That's how the subway got built. That's how the Metropolitan Transit Authority up there spread its wings and flew. We are beginning to think and have for several years now regionally. Is that a difficult thing to do, to get along with your neighbor who doesn't have to do what you say they should do?
Sure, of course it is. And the reason that you do it is because of enlightened self-interest. I mean, no jurisdiction, even one as big as the city of Charlotte or as big as Fairfax County, Virginia, mm-hmm. With 1 million people, or Montgomery County with 900,000 people, or even Washington, D.C., none of us stand on our own. We are regional economies now. I mean, we're actually stretching from Washington to Atlanta in terms of what's affecting what's going on in Charlotte. And so, yeah, it's really hard working cross-jurisdictionally, but you do it because the payoff of coming together and dealing with those difficult issues and having some struggles and working through them makes everybody a stronger individually and collectively.
You were a county manager, and you're now a city manager, and the city resides in Mecklenburg County. Compare the challenges of being a county manager with what you'll face here,
Sure.
You know you'll face here, because you don't know everything yet. You've only been on the job 2 days.
Yes, I do not know what I do not know at this point. But city and county management in the context of Arlington is a distinction without a difference. Arlington is an urban community with all the same characteristics as a city. It provides the full range of services that cities and counties both provide. It's a unified government, which is a unique a structure in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really the only department, interestingly, in the city's portfolio that I didn't have direct supervision for in my previous job is the airport. And I also had in my portfolio everything that's in the county government in Mecklenburg as well.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I didn't have the airport as a department, I had it as a major economic driver. Washington National Airport is located in Arlington County, so we were very closely connected.
I know, Mayor Fox, that you are an advocate for something that's been tossed around occasionally from time to time in the last 30 years, and that is unified government in Mecklenburg County and the city of Charlotte.
Yes.
Does this signal some willingness to or some urgency to move forward or some tip of the spear to move forward by hiring him because he has that experience in that?
Well, you know, I'm hope springs eternal, and I think
you're talking yourself out of a job.
but you know, it's the right thing for this community long term. But that's not really the impetus for Ron's being hired. But certainly, if that conversation moved beyond the city, we've actually approved a resolution to do it, at least study it. And we hope at some point the county will do the same and we can have a real conversation.
I will say that regardless what may happen at the political level, at the administrative level, we're going to work very closely together. Harry Jones and I were in communication throughout the interview process. We've already met this week, first day on the job.
Wow.
Stopped by Harry's office, had a discussion on property evaluations. And I expect we're going to have a very close working relationship because our futures are intertwined in terms of what he wants Mecklenburg to be and his county board, county commission wants it to be, and what we want to achieve in the city with the mayor and council. We have to work together.
It was pointed out in an article in The Observer that Mr. Carley's predecessor, Kurt Walton, who has been in the job for a while, was kind of not media shy, but he didn't want the limelight. He wanted to be the city manager, and occasionally he would crop up on radio or television. He did this show a couple of times. But you, it was said, you want Ron Carley to be both an administrator and a salesman. How do you see him acting in that second role?
Well, I that was not my word, salesman. I think there's an appropriate role for the city manager to communicate with the community about what's going on and to talk about some of the policy discussions the city council is having and basically to translate in some corners where the city manager has the credibility to be kind of a nonpartisan, speaker of the city's management. And I think that's a very important role for Ron to play right now because there are a lot of questions in this community about how we should move forward. And having a professional city manager who can communicate with our media, with our community, with our neighborhoods, with our business community, that's going to be really important going forward.
Hmm. I wouldn't think that the Arlington County manager was on a lot of talk shows. I could be wrong.
Well, occasionally.
Okay.
It's a different media market in Washington, obviously, and actually it was much to our dismay that so much of the media is nationally and internationally focused.
Yes.
So I believe in public engagement, and I believe in transparency, and I expect to be out, and I expect the department directors to be out as well.
Ron Carley is the new Charlotte City Manager. We're going to come back and talk about the shared vision he has for the city with the mayor. Stay with us. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Gorgeous Glow, a locally owned spray tan boutique providing customized tans with organic solutions that create natural color tones with two area locations including South Park, and at GorgeousGLO.com. And the law firm of Horak Talley, including wealth management and tax planning attorneys for individuals and businesses, advising clients on asset preservation, estate planning, and wealth building strategies. Horak Talley, attorneys who get things done. Well, despite the presence in Charlotte of a number of companies from nations around the world, North Carolina's most important trading partner is, drumroll, Canada. And Charlotte is home to 10 U.S. headquarters for Canadian companies. Hundreds of thousands of jobs in North Carolina depend on trade with our cousins to the north, and we will meet the Canadian ambassador to the United States to talk about all this and more tomorrow at 9.
Tech companies are leading the push for more temporary visas for skilled foreign workers, but the biggest users of those visas are consulting firms.
The top 10 recipients in last fiscal year are all offshore outsourcers, and they got 40,000 of the 85,000 visas.
Visas and outsourcing later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon from 4 till 6:30 on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR News source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Ron Carley is Charlotte's new city manager. He started on the job on the 1st of April, April Fool's Day. No kidding. And Mayor Anthony Fox is also with us. He's the mayor of Charlotte. In many of the articles and stories I read about the two of you, they all point out that you share a vision for the city of Charlotte. Is that true? Is that a correct...
Well, I think it's true not only of me, but also of the city council. We want the city to be an attractive center for job creation. We want it to be an attractive center for families and talented people to come. We want it to be a place that you can move relatively easily without some of the large-scale congestion that many large cities experience. We want this city to be a city where the airport continues to grow. There are a lot of pieces of the puzzle that have made the city get to this point, but we see places where it can go that are going to be even better.
Do they tell you things like this before you come down here for an interview like that, for a job like this, or did you offer these same things and they went, whoa, he shares our vision?
No, I spent a lot of time studying the strategic documents the mayor and the council have approved previously. Now, it's very important to me in making a change to come to a city that, as you described earlier, as aspirational. And so I was looking for a city that was at a really good place, that had a track record of success, but wasn't satisfied with it, that was aspirational and always wanted to push, you know, a little bit further, to raise the bar a little bit more. Because if you ever think you've gotten there, it's beginning to slip away from you. Mm. And so what I saw in Charlotte was an awesome foundation, but as I talked to the mayor and council, it became very clear to me that they wanted to go further. They want this to be one of the truly great global cities.
It's not a joke that we have our eye on the Olympics.
No. I wasn't joking earlier. Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Because when people heard that after the Democratic Convention, they began to snicker, like they did about the convention,
yeah,
like they did about professional football, like they did about professional basketball.
Yeah.
So let me just ask you a question. If we get the Olympics.
Like they do about the streetcar.
We're going to talk about that. But if we were to get the Olympics, what then? What could follow that?
You know, Mike Collins for mayor? I don't know.
No, that will never happen. You're coming here, Ron, at a very uncomfortable time. We lost some of our swagger in the city during the recession and with the switch of heads of the banks and things like that. And now we seem to be under attack from Raleigh. I mean, we have several people in the North Carolina delegation to the legislature who want to take the airport away from city control. They don't want to fund the streetcar project that the mayor is particularly fond of. Even the city council is providing some pushback on the streetcar, and we're having trouble getting permission to raise taxes to put toward renovation of the Panther Stadium. What does all of this feel like to a newcomer, an outsider who doesn't have any preconceived notions about the politics or the players or even where the bodies are buried?
Sure. Well, I have to tell you, you shouldn't feel so special about these attacks. State legislators are attacking local governments all across the country. Florida was on the front end of that curve and has pretty much decimated local governments, taking property tax money away from them. California has been brutal with their local governments, eliminating their redevelopment authorities, costing cities millions of dollars and robbing them of a critical economic development tool. It's unfortunately a nationwide wave.
Why is this happening?
I think it's largely a political philosophy of an aggressive effort to reduce government. But the irony of it is much of these state legislative efforts are really depriving people of local governance. I think it's failing to respect the ability of local taxpayers in their own cities to elect people who reflect their will and represent them.
It's interesting that this is, I assume that you're saying this is being done by new Republican legislatures.
Well, I'm hesitant to paint anybody with a broad brush. I certainly don't think it's all Republicans, there's a cadre of people with a very distinct philosophy.
I'll take the party label out of it. These people want to reduce the size of government.
Right.
One way they like to do that is to clamor about states' rights over federal government control, and yet they want to be the federal government over the cities.
I think that's right, and they're preempting their judgment for the judgment of the voters. And at the level of government where the elected leaders are truly the closest to the electorate. Mayor, where do you go that people do not recognize you and give you an opinion on what they think the city should be?
Mm.
Name one place. It never happens. He's on the job as well as the city council members literally everywhere they go. They cannot get away from their constituents even if they wanted to. And so it just really bothers them to me as a student of government in particular that people in the state capitals would begin to substitute their judgments for the people who are really closest to the voters and not really trust the voters in their local governments.
One of the things that I know you believe in, and I guess this stems from your work in the D.C. metro area, is transit. Now, we're not D.C. or even Arlington County by any stretch of the imagination. We don't have the population or the traffic problems yet, although they are significant and becoming more so every passing year. But they're not like Northern Virginia, what they face. But you share a belief with the mayor that we must strengthen transit. What would you like to see happen in that area?
I'd like to see Charlotte not become Northern Virginia.
Which is a nightmare, by the way.
Oh, traffic is an absolute nightmare. I think we have surpassed L.A. now as the most congested area in the country. And unfortunately, we still have people that are trying to build their way out of it by widening roads and putting in hot lanes. You will never build enough roads to keep up with the kind of growth that a metropolitan area like Charlotte aspires to do. Washington did a good job on the subway, but then it got behind the curve in totally building out the subway where all the places that needed to go. It's just now headed toward Dulles Airport, which is completely developing. Tyson's Corner is one of the most densely populated commercial areas in the country and is just now getting transit. And so Charlotte has an opportunity to learn from mistakes that other areas that have grown ahead of the curve of Charlotte have made and be aggressive in the transit program.
And yet, Mayor, you know that Charlotte has studied these other cities and these other problems, and it's been said a million times in discussions on this program that we'll never build our way out of the traffic problems by adding more roads or even more lanes to roads. And yet that message, obviously not here, obviously not in Northern Virginia, does not get through. Why?
Well, it's because, to the average person, they're driving their cars every day. And when a new road is built or a road is widened, they're like, oh, gosh, this is great. Now I can get where I'm going faster. But what is invisible to that person is the growth that's still coming. And over years and years and years, we're expecting travel times to just increase exponentially for people in Charlotte who are driving. That's why transit is such an important part of our strategy, and that's what's so troubling about the fact that the sales tax isn't producing enough money to do anything beyond the Blue Line extension.
Because the transit, when we talk about things like the Blue Line, we're not just talking about ridership and transit. We're talking about
land use
and development.
Yes.
and increased taxes from the development that goes up along the rail lines. And we've seen this happen. I mean, there were a ton of naysayers during the time the Blue Line project was being pitched and when it was being built, right up to the day it opened. We had people saying it was a boondoggle, it was a toy, no one was ever going to ride it, and it has outpaced every ridership projection ever put forward. And all you have to do is go down to South End and see what it did for that area in terms of redevelopment. It took a wasteland that was generating very little tax revenue and turned it into a major generator of revenue.
Transit equals economic development. There's no question about it. That's empirically true. Look across the country. And I'm reminded of what my predecessor, former mayor, now governor, Pat McCrory said, which is that he took battle scars on the left and the right, and I now know what he means, because pushing for expansion of our transit system is one of the most critical things the city can do, and yet it still isn't as well understood as we would hope it'd be, even with the South Corridor line sitting there.
Charlotte used to have streetcars. The Washington, D.C. area used to have streetcars, because I remember riding them.
They're coming back in D.C.
Yeah, and you proposed, when you were in Arlington County as the county manager, you proposed a streetcar down Columbia Pike, which, for people who don't know, goes from Fort Myers, Virginia, which is very near the Potomac River, just across the river from Washington, about, what, 8 miles? Through a very populated, highly commercial area of Arlington County, all the way out to the Capitol Beltway. Why, if streetcars were taken away from this city and Arlington and Washington, D.C., why is a streetcar, a technology of a previous century, a good idea today?
Actually, it was a good idea then. We were bamboozled in getting rid of streetcars, to tell you the truth. It was really the concentrated marketing effort of the car industry and petroleum industry with the advances in internal combustion engine that developed a whole new industry that generated a tremendous number of jobs and a lot of wealth for some people in some cities, but has gotten us into a situation today where what our current densities and growth just doesn't make any sense anymore. We would have been much better off to have kept the streetcars and maintained those systems in the long term. So they were actually never a bad means of transportation, but with new industrial capabilities, the car basically put them out of business. Now we know that if we're not careful, the car is going to put us out of business.
I was looking at some redevelopment plans for Columbia Pike online yesterday because, you know, I grew up there and I was just curious as to what it might look like today. And they looked like, those plans for that road looked like, not unlike, the plans I saw Charlotte put out for South Boulevard in the presence of a rail line. Now, I know you got some pushback on the streetcar up there. They still haven't built that, correct?
We're in for federal funding right now, and there's still a lot of opposition on it. But understand this. Columbia Pike had achieved in Arlington no private investment in a generation. None. Everything was declining and decaying along Columbia Pike and at significant risk. Once we developed a new land use plan, going back to what the mayor said, it's not just transportation, it's a holistic system. But once we developed a new land use plan and new building standards and new street design and transit in the early part of the last decade, we got the first private investment on Columbia Pike in a generation, and there are now 5 new projects on Columbia Pike, all in anticipation of having the transit come behind
it. So what's the argument against it up there? I want to know if they're the same arguments that we hear here.
Well, I think they're a little bit different. You've got this whole sales tax, property tax thing in Charlotte, I think, is unique to Charlotte and how you funded transportation. Much of what you're getting on streetcars pushback is on two sides. It's on the conservative side, where we shouldn't spend tax money on just about anything. And on the more social justice side, that we should spend the money on affordable housing and other support services. The reality is that we need to only spend tax money in smart ways and where we need to, and we need to have economic growth and development in order to do the social services things that we want to achieve, most importantly, ensuring that people have jobs.
But buses run down Columbia Pike, right? Metrobus goes down Columbia Pike?
Sure.
Are there subway stops on Columbia?
No.
Okay.
No, Columbia Pike was the most highly served transit and heavily used transit corridor in the entire Commonwealth of Virginia. But with buses running at headways that you would find virtually nowhere else, there was still not a dime of meaningful investment on Columbia Pike in a generation. Buses do not provide the same economic incentive that a fixed track does.
Why?
Because when you actually put in a fixed rail line, people know where that thing goes. It's dependable. It's psychological.
So the argument,
but they know that it's there.
So the argument that's used by people against rail, which is, you know, let the buses go down, let the buses serve people because the buses can move. The rail is there forever, is the argument to use for rail.
Yeah, absolutely. And not just for the streetcar, for the red commuter line, for the southeast corridor, we're looking at streetcars there. To the airport is a streetcar, and the spur that we're talking about is a spur that is critical to connecting streetcar to the airport.
You just said something I have never heard said. You're talking about rail transportation in the form of a streetcar to the airport.
Yes.
When did that idea surface? I've never heard that before.
It's in the 2006 revision of the 2030 plan. And, you know, I think the chorus of opposition to the streetcar has been so emotional that folks have not really taken a look at what the plan says and what it actually would accomplish.
So you want the streetcar to go from Bates Ford Road past Johnson C. Smith University, down Trade Street through the center of town, out to Presbyterian Hospital, hook a left, go out Central Avenue toward what used to be Eastland Mall. Tell me why you want that. What will be the benefit if it gets built?
Well, let me explain that. You have to look at this as within the context of the city. The city has grown to a great extent, largely in the southeast, center city, and the northern part of our area up through University of North Carolina at Charlotte. What's happening to the city is that we can't annex as much as we could. We can't annex at all. And as a result of that, the years we've spent without property tax increases, because we were able to gobble up land and population, that growth strategy doesn't exist to us anymore. So what we have to do is we have to grow value within the city we have. And, you know, I would say that, you know, there's a park place strategy that we have in the city to help build and continue the growth of areas that are strong. But we have to have a Baltic Avenue and Mediterranean Avenue strategy. We have to be able to grow those areas too, because that will add value, and to Ron's point, will give us the revenue stream to be able to do more of the things like hiring police officers and building roads.
So, and you just used a monopoly reference for those who don't know.
Yeah, thank you.
but what do you believe in your heart,
mm-hmm.
that, and I'd like to hear from you as well, Ron, that if the streetcar comes into being, that it will do for the corridor that it runs through,
mm-hmm.
what Blue Line has done for the corridor it runs through?
I think it will be different, but I think it will be substantial return on investment. The Blue Line going south has generated $1.4 billion of economic investment, and the amount of investment we put into that was about $462 million overall. The streetcars are typically about a quarter to a half the cost of light rail. And if you talk to people in the industry, it's not too long in the future before light rail is going to be running on streetcar tracks anyway. And so what we could see in the future is actually light rail running on these streetcar lines.
And in fact, the streetcars that I saw on the proposed plan for Columbia Pike look like our Lynx Blue Line trains.
Yeah.
He used the word investment. You consider streetcars to be an investment.
I don't know why else you would do it. I mean, otherwise you're just spending money to spend money. And so I don't have a position on the Charlotte streetcar at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I've read the background on it. The economic analysis is currently being updated. I've seen some preliminary figures there. I'm looking to get the full report in from the independent economic consultant. And, you know, my analysis really is going to focus on the return on investment. The reason to do streetcar is specifically to stimulate growth of jobs and residential units as part of a redevelopment program in the city.
Ron Carley is Charlotte's new city manager. He's here with Mayor Fox, Mayor Anthony Fox. We're going to talk about the airport when we come back and a couple of other things as well. Stay with the Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and the graduate engineering programs at UNC Charlotte, offering new master's programs in construction management and fire safety that deliver even higher education for engineers. Information at evenhighereducation.uncc.edu. And Blumenthal Performing Arts, presenting author David Sedaris for One Night Only, April 22nd in Belk Theater, reading new unpublished stories and hosting a book signing. Tickets now available at BlumenthalArts.org. Mapping the Human Brain. President Obama has announced a multi-year research project to understand how the brain works, what the findings could mean for the treatment of neurologic disease, coming up at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show. And if you'd like to join our conversation, now's the time, 704-926-WFAE. That's 704-926-9323, 800-603-WFAE, or online, wfae.org/Charlotte Talks. We're coming right back.
Hello, this is Jean Cochran with NPR Newscasts, and I want to take this opportunity to thank you for contributing to this member station. Your dollars are the foundation that helps us gather and deliver the news that you rely on each day. Your continued financial support is the lifeblood of the public radio system. So again, I thank you.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Ron Carley is the new city manager for Charlotte. He started on Monday. Anthony Fox, of course, is the mayor of Charlotte. Charlotte built Douglas International Airport and has run the airport since its inception. And as everybody knows who hasn't been living under a rock, there are people in the legislature from this area who want to take the airport away from Charlotte and put it under the control of an airport authority. I read this morning in the paper that they're going to give the city a chance to conduct their $150,000 study to see what they come up with before they forge ahead with this. But I want to get your take on what is going on here. Why is this happening? Why now? Is this politics or is this business or is it something else altogether?
Well, yes. The answer is yes. I don't know which of those is dominant, but let me say this: that our airport generates about $12 billion in annual economic impact, and there's not a single person on the city council who doesn't understand the value of the airport. What's happening is, and this is one of the problems when folks who are a step removed from the local decision-making begin to make decisions for us without input from us, is that they're interpreting some things that have happened at the airport over the last couple of years as
a
mismanagement.
Security breaches?
Well, not the security breaches themselves, but the response to the security breaches, which was to place Charlotte-Mecklenburg police officers out at the airport, and it's created some consternation about cost increase, but those folks weren't having to answer questions about a kid falling out of an airplane. There's a balance to be struck, and I've been in this for 8 years, and I've seen, the city going a little too far on something and peeling back, and we're taking a look at the security costs and trying to figure out whether there's a better way to do it.
You just mentioned the amount of money that that airport generates for the region. Now, let's be clear about this, because the city of Charlotte does not get any money directly from the airport, nor do any tax dollars go toward the airport.
That's another misnomer. I've never seen such an obfuscation of fact, this driving a policy as important as this. The airport generates revenue today, but in the first instance, the city taxpayers pay to build the airport. And it's now a self-sustaining enterprise fund, but the city is legally prohibited from spinning off dollars from the airport to do anything else.
But you made a statement about streetcars a couple of months ago and alluded to the fact that you could take some of that money from the airport, or it sounded as though you said that.
Disagree that I've ever said anything that would indicate that. I made some statements about some concerns I had about discussions that were going on in Raleigh, and I don't understand how it got misinterpreted, but I've clarified that with those who were suggesting it.
Where do you stand on this? Who controls Reagan National Airport in I think, are they in Alexandria or are they in Arlington County?
No, the airport is in Arlington.
Okay. But who controls Dulles?
They're under the same authority, and based on some of the problems coming to light, people may say that no one's really controlled the two airports. It's a tri-state authority that really is not accountable directly to anyone.
Is that the Metropolitan Washington Transit Authority?
Airport Authority. And a whole host of problems are coming to light with what is an independent authority there that ultimately is not directly accountable to anybody. And that's the concern about authorities, depending on how they're structured. But the mayor and council have authorized a study of governance and various elements of the airport. And
one of the things I want to enter into this is that the intermodal facility is something that is it's coming on. It provides an entry for freight into the airport and also to ports all across the eastern seaboard. And there's an awful lot of real estate that's out at the airport today. That we hope to grow into manufacturing and distribution parks and so forth. And when you say business as a motivator, it does concern me that there may be some business interests that are also being motivated to try to control how this thing's out.
The intermodal facility, for people who don't know, is coming online, I think, in 2014 or the end of 2013, and it essentially makes Charlotte a deep water port. When the Panama Canal is finished with their widening, these enormous ships that now dock in Long Beach, California, will be able to dock in Norfolk and Charleston and the Port of Miami and use rail to transport materials to the Charlotte Airport, which will then distribute it around the country, which is a great boon to the economy of the Charlotte area. It's huge. Arlington County, Virginia, is one of the richest counties in the world. Per capita income there is higher than Charlotte. Home values are higher than they are here. You have major government installations in Arlington, like the airport, like the Pentagon. You're gonna have less money to work with here. How do you scale down your expectations and what you believe you can accomplish after all your experience in Arlington with all that money floating around?
Almost any city in America would trade their financial position for Charlotte's. Charlotte is in a very strong position. It's much larger than Arlington geographically and population size, but it has a strong economy and the potential is enormous. And so as I look at the base that we're starting with in Charlotte in terms of the scope of services and the quality of services, I don't think Charlotte is running behind anybody. I think that we have the resources in this city, as I told the mayor and council in the interview, where we can do anything we want to do. Now, we can't do everything we want to do. We got to make choices and set priorities. But I think we've got the resources in this city to be strategic and smart and do what's important to us.
So I'm going to repeat that because you said this was quoted in the paper that Charlotte can do anything it wants to do. It just can't do everything it wants to do.
That's
so you
right.
have to prioritize.
That was even true in Arlington as well.
What would your priorities be here?
They're not about my priorities.
Well, from your 30,000-foot level here, just coming into this job and your experience both as a county manager and as the CEO of this international conglomerate of county managers, what would you think should be our priority?
Yeah, well, I don't mean to be cute in saying this. My job is to help facilitate the expression of those priorities from the people of Charlotte through the council and mayor. It's really their job as the elected officials to define those priorities and for the city manager and the staff to really sort through those options and tee up smart decision points for them.
I want to go back to something that Mayor Fox was talking about a little while ago. The people, we've talked about it on this program a couple of times in the past, but it's only been a minor part of a conversation, and that is the fact that Charlotte has gotten ahead and increased its tax base over the years by annexing the unincorporated areas of Mecklenburg County, which is why today Charlotte occupies so much of Mecklenburg County. But that's over. That's done. There's nothing left to annex.
Yep.
And you are in Arlington County, which is also landlocked.
Totally.
It cannot grow.
Totally.
So what do you bring to the table in terms of helping Charlotte cope and understand how to deal with this new paradigm?
Well, I hope I will bring some facilitated skills to help transition from a greenfield development mentality to a redevelopment mentality. And with the size of the geography that we have in this city, we have virtually unlimited potential. And so it's a matter of really targeting our redevelopment areas and being really focused, working with the private sector to look at areas that are ready for the next generation of what I hope will be mixed-use and high-quality development that provides economically diverse neighborhoods.
Do you think this is something the average person has thought a lot about or even understands?
No, and that's one of the reasons why all of us have to be better at communicating. That's why, you know, the role of city manager, I think, is changing somewhat. That's why the role of mayor will change. I think that's why we need the business community's active engagement in this conversation, because it is going to be a very, very difficult transition from the way we've been doing business.
So what is it like now that we can't annex? What does that mean? What did annexation mean for the average person? Did it keep taxes down because we spread the tax base out?
Yeah. We went from a period in the early 1990s until 2007, 2006, where there was no city property tax increase, almost 15 or 16 years. And that is over. We cannot grow our tax base by annexation anymore. We just can't do it. And so we either create value within what we have, or we have annual tax increases. And I don't think people want annual tax increases.
But you create value. Correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe this is the wrong way to express it. It seems that every time we talk about creating value in the absence of annexation is urbanization. You build land use planning, and you put transit there, and you encourage density.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people moved here because they want the White House. I mean, they want the house and the white picket fence out in the suburbs with 3/4 acre of green grass around it. They don't want to live in a box in a building in the middle of town.
That's right. And that's one of the brilliant pieces of our land use strategy, which is that we have made plans for dense development. We've also made plans to protect those areas that are quieter, quiet streets and so forth. And that's why transit is so important, because if we don't have the transit assets in place, the density doesn't come. And you start to get scattershot development, or worse, people decide to move and companies decide to move outside of the city limits, and you lose an opportunity to get that growth.
I just don't see this as all that complicated. I think it's a paradigm shift, but with 300 square miles, we should be able to offer any kind of lifestyle that anyone wants to have living in the city.
Well, I think that people travel from here in their cars to the D.C. area for tourist purposes, and they see how bad it is in terms of traffic. I mean, I grew up there, and I go home every once in a while, and I think,
But if you live in one of the urban areas, you don't experience it. In fact, the highways are clogged. But if you actually go to the street grid system in Arlington, it's operating at the same capacity it did 20 years ago, mm-hmm. because the urban growth is on top of the subway line, and as you go away from the subway line, you have as pristine single-family neighborhoods as you have anywhere else in the country, because the urban growth is focused very specifically along the transit lines, while other people still have other alternative lifestyles.
Mike, the reality is the traffic is coming. It is coming. It's just, you know, I feel sometimes like Noah trying to build the ark. I mean, you know, it is coming. It's going to rain. The question is, are we going to prepare for it, or are we going to just let it happen? And if we let it happen, it's going to have disastrous consequences on quality of life for all of us.
You've spent 30 years in local government, Ron Carley, and I know that you were most recently the COO of
ICMA.
Yeah, what does it mean?
International City County Management Association, which will be holding its annual conference in Charlotte in 2014, celebrating its 100th anniversary as an organization.
Is that because of you?
Well, the association would go to all extremes to ensure a great conference in 2014.
But your experience there, watching how cities and counties around the world are doing business,
yes.
are there best practices or things, great ideas that you know about because of that position that
yes.
you can then infiltrate our way of thinking with?
Yeah, there are three things that are really critical, and that is you integrate your transportation and land use plans so that you have transit-oriented development, it's mixed-use development, and it's economically diverse development. And that enables – that creates a lifestyle that provides the amenities that people want, accessible to all people. And that is what, you know, every major city around this country is really working toward right now. Some are doing better than others. Some are further ahead of the curve.
Who's doing it really well?
Well, I think Charlotte actually is doing it quite well. Portland has certainly been a poster child in bringing forward transit-oriented development. Almost everybody has spent time in Portland, and it had a huge payoff for them. Even places like Oklahoma City are bringing in these same philosophies, trying to revitalize their downtowns. See, a lot, the downtown is the anchor, and unfortunately a lot of cities have totally lost their downtowns and may never be able to bring them back without tremendous investment. Charlotte, on the other hand, has done a phenomenal job revitalizing that that core city. We still need to promote people living in downtown. We got sidetracked because of the recession. I'm living in a building in uptown that's only 40% occupied. And so we need to get people into town, and we need to bring retail into town and make sure that people in this region know that downtown isn't just for visitors. It's for people in this region. It's for people who live out to come in and play and have fun and experience the amenities.
Mayor Fox, you are appearing today with the Interim Secretary of Transportation at some event. It's been rumored
that Interim Secretary of Labor.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
But it's been rumored that you are on the short list to be the next Secretary of Transportation in the Obama administration.
Mike, I have plenty to say grace over right here. We've got an airport we're trying to keep vibrant. We've got a stadium and a downtown we want to continue growing, and we also have a transit plan that we need to get reinvigorated.
Have you been approached?
Mike, I'm happy being Mayor Charlotte. Thank you.
Are you not allowed to talk about it?
I'm allowed to talk about great things about being Mayor Charlotte. And I love Charlotte.
Would the job be attractive to you?
I am very happy doing what I'm doing.
Would you take it if offered?
Mike, I am so happy being here with you today. I'm telling you, I'm having a lot of fun. Thank you.
Let me ask this. A lot of Charlottians were excited by Pat McCrory going to the governor's mansion because they thought that was going to bring nice things to Charlotte. We're learning otherwise at the moment. If you went to Washington, would nice things come our way from D.C.?
I'm looking forward to catching up with the governor soon. He and I promised to grab lunch, and I'm looking forward to that and hopefully some good things coming to Charlotte.
And just to be clear, you're happy being here?
Yeah, I'm very happy.
Mayor Anthony Fox, who's been our guest today, along with Ron Carley, who's Charlotte's new city manager. He started the job on Monday. Thank you so much for the hour.
Thank you.
You going to answer the question off the air? I just want to know.
Happy being here,
okay,
man.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is